Okay. Today we're talking about Zev Zekrem, we went to Pei Zayin. And we're gonna, this is only part one of Zev Zekrem for today. Rosh Hashanah next week or next time, we'll do more about Zev Zekrem. And the general, to introduce it, the general rule is like this. If Isser is mixed into Heter, put trade food and selling kosher, then it's about the Mashishim. If there's 60 times as much, then it's not nice and tam, and it's mutter. But that assumes that it's not going to be nice and tam. What happens if the Isser is able to be nice and tam even with more than Shishim? Then it's not bottle. Okay, then it's not bottle. And that was the beginning, that was what we did last time about Zev Zekrem, about Dara Maimed, is that if a food has, an Isser has an effect on the food, then it's also not bottle B'Shishim. So the different ways that something could not be bottle. Like if it's, again, Dabar Maimed, Avida L'Taima, that's what I'm talking about now, like a flavor, it's nice, it's something that's very strong, it's a spice, it's nice and tam, or a Chazusa, there's all different things that are not Balta B'Shishim. So over here, the Ramah says, and it's other places as well, that this that we say that, let's say Dabar Maimed, or any of them, but in this case, a Dabar Maimed cannot be Balta if it's, it can't be Balta, that assumes it's the only thing that's making the hamada happen. But what happens if there's Isser and Heter together? Okay, and for sure for the landers, it in the case of the Ramah, it's a cheese being made with non-kosher rennet. Okay, that's what's being made with. So if the rennet is traded, it's bottle b'shishim, but it makes a hamada, so it can't be bottle. What happens if you have a mix of kosher rennet and non-kosher rennet together? Then that's called Zev Zekrem. They did it together. Both of them did it together, and because they did it together, therefore it can be potter. Okay, assuming of course it's about the Bashishim. Bashishim, of course you have to have. Assuming it's about the Bashishim, and they did it together, then we say Zev Zekrem, and they could be potter. Okay, that's a general like instruction of what it means to say Zev Zekrem. Okay, so today we're going to talk about a specific application, which has to do with flavors. And the reason why we're talking about that is because, as a rule, Zev Zekrem is only for case of B'dieved. Okay, the simple explanation is that L'chatchila you can't do it, it's bitless of L'chatchila. If I put a little bit of treif ren into my food, or milsa vidot time into my food, you know, I'll do that. So it's only geared to cases of B'dieved. And so, like in a house situation, or in a factory, it would happen in cases of B'dieved. But for flavors, is the thing that has the most relevance to us. And that's because, what are flavors? What are flavors? Flavors are when a scientist, a chemist, goes together and he mixes all kinds of things together to create, either to mimic something that's there, like in the strawberry yogurt that he's eating. He wanted to make it taste like strawberry, so instead of putting in actual strawberries, he mixed all kinds of chemicals that give the same taste as berries or whatever that flavor is. Or he makes up a new flavor. Okay, make Pepsi has a different flavor. It's not mimicking something in nature; just trying whatever it is. Okay, so they mix all kinds of things, but you have to use many chemicals to make that, many components to make that flavor. So in a flavor, the question is going to be: is that Zev Zekrem? Okay, is it? Would we say that some of the components are Heter and some are Isser? Maybe Zev Zekrem together, and that makes it to be considered somehow. That would make it mutter, even if there's trace components. Since it takes, let's say, 10 things to make it into this, to make the strawberry, maybe that should be considered Zev Zekrem. Okay, so we, for foods, have a luxury of telling people that you have to have hashgacha for your flavors. Because they could have all kinds of chemicals in them, they could be not kosher, so you have to have hashgacha for them. Okay, but there's two applications of where people think about having flavors without hashgacha. One is, there are other countries where hashgacha is not as developed, there aren't as many yidden, and whatever reasons, and they have to eat food without knowing all the details. They can't get hashgacha on everything. So sometimes the only thing that's standing between them and eating a food is that it has a flavor in it. So should they be mocking? Should they care about the fact that there's a flavor in there? Could they say, oh, it's always going to be Zev Zekrem, it'll always be, there's many components, you think they're all treif? Only some of them are treif. And another example is for medicines, lots of liquid medicines, I'm sorry, every liquid medicine has got a flavor in it. So in a medicine, there's not going to be hashgacha on it, and we have more of a pressing need for the person to use it because it's a medicine. So should we say, ignore the flavor because it's always Zev Zekrem and it's going to be mutter because of it? Okay, so those are our applications that we're going to be thinking about. Okay, now, today we're only talking about the Zev Zekrem part of the flavors. is a completely different question about flavors. It has to do with Avito Taima. If you guys come back for some Tzadiches, when we get to there, we're going to talk about that. It's a completely different question, is whether the components are considered Avito Taima. It's a completely different question. But for today, we're talking about just the Zev Zegarin part of it. Again, there's many components. Does that somehow make it okay? Okay, so in order to understand whether the Zev Zegarin applies or not, we're going to talk about Zev Zegarin. We're going to talk about the Pratim of that din. We're also going to talk about how you make flavors to help us understand. Okay, so for that example, let's see if this one. Okay, this is an actual, what you see here on the screen is an actual flavor, strawberry flavor. I went to a company that we give hashgacha to and I said to them, can you give me a flavor, a formula for making strawberry with the amounts? Okay, the amounts that it would be. What I wrote here is the parts per million, which is the how much would it be in the finished product, in the finished beverage or whatever food that's going to have this food in it.
Oh, in the food, not in the flavor. Food,
right, not in the flavor. In the, they gave me the amount actually in the flavor. They gave me, I said, do me a favor, give me a, usually we don't get this, but give me one that has the actual amounts in it, but and this is converted into the parts in the finished product, okay? So as you can see, there's tiny amounts of any of this stuff in the finished product, okay, you know, marsh tiny amounts of it, but when you make this flavor, when you make any flavor, what the flavorist, if you have to call him, does is, he looks at the food, let's say in this case a strawberry, and he detects lots of different things. He detects, there's a whole vocabulary for describing this. He detects green notes and acidic notes and sweet notes. They have a whole vocabulary to describe what they're tasting, which me and you don't taste any of this stuff. Okay, when we just bite into a strawberry, it just tastes like a strawberry. Okay, but they could detect all kinds of things that are going on in there, and then they recreate it. They say there's a top note, a top green note. I don't know what that means. What it means is that at one part of the eating of the food, you have a green taste, a green note at that point. So he puts in another chemical that has the same properties, that it also gives a top green note. Okay, and then there's a bottom.
Same, he tastes the strawberry. He tastes in the strawberry.
He tastes all those things. He can, so I once was saved, but I was once at a class about this kind of stuff. And at one point, they had everybody come up and taste the food there and describe what they were tasting. Okay, and the people, like, you wouldn't believe what they were tasting. What they were seeing in this grape juice was not to believe. What they could, that's, I taste this. And I brought some, you know, the grape juice is not kosher. I'm like, I don't have to do it. Instead of having to embarrass myself and stand there in front of it, like a moron, like trying to. So these people, so to them, they could taste all these things, and then they recreate it by putting it. So what will I put in that will give me that creamy note? I'm going to put in acetyl methyl carbidol at this amount, will give me that amount to it. Okay, so now, part of it is they're recreating what they taste in the natural thing. But part of it is then they get their own ideas. And once they did the base of what it is,
they have proven their bunch of strawberry.
Correct. Well, they make it more unique, okay? So make my strawberry to be different than the next guy's strawberry, so I get a little more of this, or a little that, or something unusual, and they make it like that. Okay. So for our purposes, we're going to focus on the two main parts of what makes this into a strawberry flavor. These are a lot of pieces over here, okay? And what we're going to do is, we're going to talk about, okay, two parts, okay, which I have actually in front of me, okay, and they are maltol and cis-3-hexanol, okay, these two different chemicals. These are the one, the maltol gives a sweet note, and cis-3-hexanol gives a green note, okay. I don't know what to say now. Now, what the surprise to most people is that those two things have nothing to do with strawberries, okay, and you could taste, you could smell them yourself. I'm sorry, the Zoom people can't do it. Okay, this is maltol. Okay, this is, and maltol, okay, it's supposed to taste, it's fair. It's supposed to taste, it's supposed to smell. Smell and taste is almost the same. Smell like cotton candy. Okay, that's maltol. And this, wrong share. Okay. And that one is cis-3-hexanol. Okay, and it has a smell of freshly mowed grass, or something like that. And that's why it's called green, okay? Green note, so the green and grass, like freshly grass, okay? So, two different, very different smells, okay? Okay, whether you think that it tastes like cotton candy, smells like cotton candy or not, we could debate that part. But it doesn't taste like strawberry. It smells like strawberries, bakhlav, okay? But when you put them together, okay, the maltol is like cotton candy, and the cis-3-hexanol is like freshly mowed grass, and if you put them together, it's like a strawberry, okay? Would you believe it? No, you wouldn't believe it. Okay, this specific example, I once actually saw it in a flavor company. We went to learn about this, and they did this for us. They put the right amounts together, and each one we smelled separately, and they smelled like their things and put them together, and it was a completely different taste. Okay, now we'll talk about one day down the road that might only be considered to be okay. But I'll push on. Yeah. Okay. So now what would happen is for what we're going to talk about is what would happen if the sisri hexanol was kosher and the maltol was not. Okay, would we say that the strawberry that we made is zer zegerim because it has two different things are in there. Neither one of them by themselves tastes like strawberry. Okay, neither of those things tastes like strawberry. But if we put them together, all of a sudden we have a strawberry taste to it. So now if the sisri hexanol was kosher, I'm sorry, if the sisri hexanol was kosher but the maltol was not kosher, would we say that now it's zev zegarim because the strawberry taste that we got came from these two things together. Okay? So the first thing we have to think about is that over here, maybe it should not be zev zegarim because the two different things, they're giving two different things. They're participating in different ways. One's doing cotton candy and one's doing freshly mowed grass. So maybe that doesn't qualify for zev zegarim. Okay? Or would you say is, what's the difference? Lamaisa, together is what made the flavor. Okay? Together is what made the tam. So that question is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Okay? What I just said to you is machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Okay? One of the cases of zev zegarim in the Gemara is the case of Arla. Okay? That something grew from Arla. And Arla is also Barna. So you took something that was Arla, and you now have something, a new tree came from that, and it's a machlokes, and now that's a question of is zev zegarim that kind of a case? So Rashi learns that case of zev zegarim is, you took a seed of Arla, and you planted it in the ground. So the seed is Arla, that's Isser. The ground is Heter. So what made the new tree grow was a mix of Heter and Isser. Seed and ground. Seed and ground together made it grow. That's zev zegarim, and therefore what grows afterwards is mutter. Okay? Zev zegarim is mutter, therefore what grows afterwards would be mutter. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, no, that's not zev zegarim. He says, because trees and seeds and ground are contributing two totally different things. What makes the tree grow, what the seed did and what the ground did are two totally different contributions to make this thing grow out of this tree that grows afterwards. So Tosfos is talking about that you didn't take a seed, you took a branch from an arla tree and you put it onto another arla tree, onto another tree, and together you made another tree grew out of it. So the trees are both giving, give or take, the same thing, and that counts as zev zegarim. Okay? But according to, and Rashi says, no, they don't have to contribute the same thing. They can contribute different things, and that will make it. So it means to say, according to Tosfos, this is not zev zegarim. Because the two of them are giving totally different things. One is giving cotton candy, one is giving freshly mowed grass. Okay, so our Isser and Heter are giving two different things. And according to Rashi, it doesn't make a difference. As long as the finished product comes from two different places, that's good enough to be zev zegarim. Okay. So Tosfos is following you.
And I'm trying to address the comparison.
Okay.
I mean, here you have two things. They're both flavors. Mm-hmm. Both contributing flavors. They happen to be two different, and they are two different flavors, but they are accomplishing one goal for the.
And in the tree, they're also we have a new tree because of this. So we could always say that they're always accomplishing one. That's the point of zev zegarim.
Yeah, but the ground and the seed are two different elements in the development of a tree.
Right. And so, I mean, it depends how you word this. We could say there's also two different elements. You know what I mean? So it's grass and cotton candy. There's two different things. Okay, so you're saying that it's not even tolling this. It's for sure okay. It's for sure it's zev zegarim. Okay, so the good news is not negating lamaisa, because in Hilchos Arla we pass on like Rashi. Okay, we pass on like Rashi. That even if it's two different things, it counts as it's considered zev zegarim. Okay, so because of that, so this would be, from that perspective, this would be zev zegarim. The fact that it would come from two different things, you say it's coming from, it's the same thing. Flavor is the same thing.
It's not a good self-regardless. We're not passing Rashi to self-regardless.
No, passing Rashi. No, I don't think so. We're just passing Rashi. Okay, but, so.
But on the other hand, maybe even coming to Rashi, it's still the else over here.
Okay, you're going to win no matter what, right? Okay, yeah, that's why.
Because who says it's zev zegarim? You're looking at a finished product, you have strawberry flavor, and he's saying that the strawberry flavor is just, you have cotton candy element and you have the green element. Maybe it's, and we said you could look at it as one flavor that's made by two components. Maybe it's, you have the cotton candy and you have green.
Okay. Half an hour ago, did you think that strawberry tastes like cotton candy, or you thought strawberry tastes like strawberry?
Strawberry.
You taste like strawberry. Like half an hour ago, that's what you thought. When you eat strawberry, when you have a strawberry flavor, that's what it tastes like. Because to you, it's a finished thing. That's what it is. You don't know from the chachmas of what made him. You don't know all this? Okay, now you should know, we're not going to talk about it today. There's a machlokes in the Achronim about what happens if they don't both contribute. One is the gerim, and the other one just sets up the environment that makes it possible for it to happen. Okay, one of the examples is if you have flour and you mix it with fruit juice, with meperis, it doesn't become chametz. If you have meperis with water, it becomes chametz. So the person can say, the water doesn't do anything to the chametz, but the water makes the environment that allows the chametz to happen. It's the meperis that causes the chametz, and the water is just creating an environment. Does that consider that? We're not going to talk about that. And there's other things like that also. We're not going to, but other ways of two things combining, not for today.
Okay.
This is not that case. No, they're both contributing. There are other things in a flavor that are do other parts. Like they make it mix well and things like that. Those are not the taste things. Right? Those are bottled because they're not every little time. They're nothing. They just play a side little role that's not enough. Okay. But what we need, the next thing we need to talk about is like this. A shayla of two different tosas in. About when we say there's a rule called Yesh B'Zev Kazel Hametz, we're going to talk to you about that in a second, and the Tosafos in Psachim and Tosafos in Avodah Zarah have different ways of understanding what case is like this. And what's going to be is like this. Tosafos in Psachim say like this. If Zev Zev Garim works, if the Isser couldn't do what it had to do by itself. Okay, in our case of our cheese, if you put in so little rennet that it couldn't, of treif rennet to make the cheese, then the other rennet helped it out, the kosher rennet helped it out, you say zev zagram it's mutter. Or if Tyson says in Psachim, what happens if you put enough rennet of Isser and enough rennet of Heter both in? Okay, they both could have done it, but when Maisa they did it together, that's also zev zagram. Okay? The only case that's not Zev Zagarim according to Tosafos Psachim is what happens if you put in enough treif rennet to be mined with the cheese, but there was not enough kosher rennet to be mined with the cheese. That's the case when you can't say Zev Zagarim. Okay? And so that's the only case according to Tosafos Psachim that you can't say Zev Zagarim is when there's enough Isser to make the Hamadah or the Tam or the Chazusa, whatever it is, but there's not enough Heter. In contrast, Tosafos in Avodah Zarah says that the only time you can say Zev Zagarim is when there's not enough Isser to do the Hamadu or the Avito Taimu or whatever it is. But any time there's enough Isser to do it by itself, Yesh Bezek Kedel Hametz is really a Mishnah, but he learns that Yesh Bezek Kedel Hametz is enough Isser to do the Hamadu or the Avito Taimu or whatever by itself, then there's no Zev Zagarim because, what's the logic? The logic is you didn't need the Heter in order to do this. The Isser by itself could have done it. So it's not Zev Zegarim. It's not. The Tosafos Psachim is saying, as Lamaises, the two of them together are doing the job. They're both doing the job together. So it's Zev Zegarim. And Tosafos Avodah Zarah is saying, no. As if the Isser could have done it by itself, that's not Zev Zegarim. If the Isser could have done it by itself, it didn't need the Heter. So the Heter is doing nothing. The Heter has no role over here. Okay, so it's not two things together. It's just the Isser doing it by itself. Okay, so the Taz says that it could be that the Ramah holds like Tosafos Psachim, but everybody says, including the Taz, that the din is like Tosafos Avodah Zarah. That the only time, we can say Zev Zagarim is when there's not enough Isser to make a difference. Okay? If the Isser by itself could have done it, had there been no Heter, the Isser by itself could have done it. Then in that case, we say there's no Zev Zagarim. Okay, Zev Zagarim doesn't apply. So this din of Yesh B'Zev Kedel Hametz is very much again exactly to our case, okay? Because when I told you that we put in Sistri Hexanol and Maltol into the flavor, the amount that's in there, the amount that's put into there, is enough to, each one of them is enough to be nice and tama. Okay? There's enough Sistri Hexanol I forgot which one, that tastes like, you remind me, I don't remember which one. What?
The green.
Okay, the sister. There's enough of that to make it taste like freshly mowed grass, and there's enough malt oil for it to taste like bubblegum. So that means to say is if the malt oil in our case was the Isser, Okay, Maltol is, if in our example, Maltol was the Isser, was the cotton candy. If we were to put in just the Isser into this thing, I mean, we left the other flavor components out, we put in just that amount of parts removing into the thing, our cookie would taste like cotton candy. Okay, that would be the taste we would get. Now, we wanted the strawberry, so we put in other things also. But the amount of Isser that was put in, the amount of flavor of each component that was in there, of each of the main components that are in there, is enough to be noisome time by itself. So when we say, an avido time, it can't be bottled because you could taste it. We say, wait a second, but over here, you're only tasting it because there are many things. It's not true. The reason why you're tasting it is not only, it's not because there's many things. You really taste all of them. But when there's all clumped together, you taste a bigger taste. You take a bigger taste that you call strawberry. But really, you're tasting every one of those things. Okay, and really, that's their goal, that you should taste every one of those things. Okay, to the simple folk like me and you, we just taste the big taste of strawberry. But the etzem, you're tasting all those things. And if you remember, I told you, that's how they did this in the first place. The way they made this in the first place was, they bit into a strawberry and said, I taste bubblegum. Okay, and to me and you don't dream of tasting bubblegum yet, but they did. So he said, okay, I have to make that much of a taste. Now, afterwards, they dusted and they ate another chazarai, that's not a good word, they had other things in there, other things that make a difference to adjust the flavor and a little more and a little less, but the overall of the main components like this, then it's enough that you should be noisome time. So therefore, the reason why we can't say zev zagerm on the flavor components, as a rule, on flavor components is because on the main flavor components, each one of them is yeshu exactly the alchametz. Each one of them is enough in there that you should taste it. And therefore, it doesn't qualify for zev zagerm. It's not, you don't need both of them together to make the taste. No, each one of them is being noisome time.
Now, you know, you don't see that, heinz is just strawberry. Now they both put in this just strawberry.
So that's how I didn't take before. That's a it's a very interesting, the Balmar. We'll talk about it when we get to Avito Taima. That when you have something where you don't taste the Isser itself anymore, you taste a new combination together, that's called Avito Taima Drabanan. It is considered Avito Taima, but Avito Taima Drabanan. Avito Taima Derais is when you taste the actual Isser itself. When you taste a new taste, because of that's Avito Taima Drabanan. It's Balmar. Yeah, Rav Shaftes likes to say
it over.
I
like all of it, but it's not such a...
It's from Balmar. I mean, he says okay. It. And answers Kashas. When we get to Avito Taima, we'll talk about it. Okay, now, what I told you, I keep telling you the case, this is why I keep saying the case, is that the Maltol, the cotton candy, is the Avito Taima, is the one that was trafe. What would be if the case would be the opposite? Okay, if the sister hexen had been the trafe. Now, the truth is neither of these are trafe. But what happened if the sister hexen had been the trafe one? Okay, the sister hexen will taste like freshly mowed grass. So in that case, he said, what would happen if you would taste just freshly mowed grass? Okay, imagine we made a cookie that tasted not like cotton candy, but tastes like freshly mowed grass. Because that would be no time of gum. Okay, that would be giving a negative taste into the food. If you get cotton candy taste, that's within reason that could be a positive taste. But had it been giving just the freshly mowed grass, and we had put just a green note into this thing, it would taste awful. Okay, nobody would want to eat food that tasted like that. So what would be the thing in that case? If that had been just here by itself, it would be bottled up arrived. That would be motor also. We wouldn't consider that to be an avido taima. We would say the sistri hexanol, if that would have been trafe, if that would have been the only component that was trafe, it would be bottled because it was bottled up arrived, because it's there's town of gum. So had that been the trafe one, then the flavor would be mutter. Okay, the flavor would be mutter. But if the component that's in there is a component that you taste, which usually it is, you taste it all the way through, and it's something that gives a positive taste, which often it is, but not necessarily, but often it is, that's when we wouldn't be able to say zev zagerm. Okay, but if it doesn't give a positive taste, it gives a negative, again, we had the 6-3 hexanol been the being noise in town, then it would have been mutter. Okay, now, another example where we
take... So then it shouldn't be able to be called zev zagerm,
because
it's not counted anymore. If let's say if the maltol is usher and the
6-3 hexanol
is mutter, so then you're telling me, if you're saying that that's bottle, so then you should only count the maltol.
And if the maltol was the trafe of the kasher?
The trafe.
Right, so it's bottle. No, the maltol is not bottle. It's the only thing that's here. So it's not zev zagerm.
Right. Oh, that's what you're saying.
You're another step. You're saying ignore. Now we can ignore the sistri hexanol. That's even more so. That's just the maltol. But I was saying it's not zev zagerm because since we taste cotton candy all the way through, it's noisentam. It doesn't need zev zagerm to be noisentam. Now
we would only do this by clearly noisentam of common things, right?
Right.
We don't start saying this. You know, it's very hard to.
No, but this is an example of that. Is because the stuff is such awful. Nobody wants to eat food that tastes like grass. So that's why it's a now. Another case where we would be able to say zev zagerm was like this. So this is a case that came up not even so long ago here. And that was like this. Somebody was making a butter flavor, and the butter flavor had three things that contributed towards the buttery part. There were lots of other ingredients that did other parts to make it taste good, okay? But they were trying to make a butter flavor, and these are the three parts that contributed towards the butter flavor, okay? And of the three of them, the butter oil was milchig. Butter oil comes from butter. That's milchig. And the other two, decanoic acid and butyric acid, both of which give a buttery type taste, okay? These are very similar tastes. Those are both power. Okay? Now, in this case, the question wasn't that whether we should call this parah milchig. Of course we were going to call it milchig because it had a milchig ingredient. That wasn't the question. The question is about the kalim. Okay, the question was, this was being made on kalim that were going to be then used for parah afterwards, and did we have the kasher? So the question was, is if this is milchig, if the product is milchig, whether we label it with this D on it. If it's actually milchig, then the kalim have to be kasher. Okay, that was the question for there. So when we looked into it, it turned out that the amounts of butter oil and the other ingredients were a very dramatic difference. Okay, it turned out that there was 10 times as much butyric acid as butter oil and 20 times as much as decanoic acid in the product. Which is to say, is what was giving the butter flavor over here was the butyric acid. Okay? That's what was making it have a butter flavor. There wasn't enough butter oil in this thing to give any tang to it. Okay, now why are they putting it in if it's not giving any tang? And the reason why they're putting it in had nothing to do with Tom. It has to do with they could be able to say on the product, contains butter. Okay? They want to be able to write on the packaging, contains butter. So by putting in some butter oil, a tiny bit, it makes no difference, doesn't make any difference to the Tom of the food, but just like it contains butter, or contains real butter, or something like that. And therefore, so they put the mom's like a spoonful, nothing of that into make this flavor. So in that case, it's not the issue that comments. Okay, there's not enough here to make a difference. Okay, the butter oil is making no difference in the finished product. We're not making a difference in the food that we're making, and therefore it would be zev zegram. Now again, we wouldn't call this milk parv. We wouldn't tell somebody this is called parv. The shayla also our kalim of it. That was good enough.
But it would be better.
Right. That's something. Since it really is parv, therefore we're not catching our kalim. It would be bitless like a chila for us to let them call it parv. We wouldn't put in butter oil and call it parv. That would be like a form of bitless of chila.
Are we doing the time
as kalim? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that was actually getting right to what I was getting to, which is, we've been talking about whether zev zegrim should play a role in the flavor. As I said at the beginning, when we get to the dinim of avidul taima, we're going to talk about whether that makes a difference in yin kasher and kalim also. Okay, there's other parts of the shayla flavors. You only heard today one part of the shayla flavor is, should zev zegarim apply? That's one part of the shayla. There's a whole other part of the shayla, which is how it affects kalim and other parts of details of avidul taima, because in fact, we don't kasher kalim if something is just a straight flavor. Okay, that happens to be that's the truth. But what that has to do with the second part, okay? Again, for Zim and Tzavishas. Now, okay, so to summarize before I go on to the last part, which has to do with Pesach, the in order to say for a flavor that should be qualified as zev zegarim, you really have to get into the details, or as you say, get into the weeds of what's going on in the flavor. But the derech klal, if you don't know enough of the din, or you don't know enough of the metzias, you assume that zev zegarim does not apply to these things. Now, our last thing we have to talk about is Pesach. Okay, we've been talking about treif until now. And now a different question about Pesach, and that goes like this. The Ran says that the way zev zegarim works is essentially it's bittul. Zev zegarim mutter matam l'fishin is batul isab heter. Okay, it's a type of a bittul to say is the iser and the heter are together making the food taste the way it does, or having the hamada, or whatever it is that it did, and therefore it's a type of a bittul. So the Magen Avraham says, well, if it's a type of bittul, then we know there's a din that on Pesach chametz is also b'mashu. Chametz is not bottle, and since chametz is not can be, when it happens on Pesach, it can't be bottle. So im kain, then zev zegarim is not going to be mutter on Pesach. Okay, zev zegarim would mutter from iser. Zev zegarim is mutter if it happens before Pesach.
Zev zegarim starts off with bittul. You don't have bittul, you don't have anything. You have to start off with bittul, that's pashut, before you can get anything. That's the background. And then you can talk about, maybe it's worse because it's a bittul taima, but if you don't have bittul, you don't have bittul.
That's a good question. You're saying the iser is here and made a difference. So the iser is here, so even if a tiny bit fell into it...
Yes, it's also b'mashim.
I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. I have to think about that. I don't know. I know the Mughal Ram says this, and you'll hear more. Everybody else has lots to say about it as well. It's a good question. He's saying, well, my said fell in. So that's enough to make a mitzvah. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, you have the case of Zevus and Gerim. It's not a case of the Rashi and Tais.
Right, the your case, but not in Pesach. We're talking about in Chametz. How could it be, what's the Chametz going to make a difference? There are cases. You said, by Arlo, there's all the cases that makes it, that it's, it could be Zevus and Gerim without it. Okay, I don't know. It's a good question.
You have to use Chametz for fuel or something as a fuel to bake something.
So we didn't talk about that bechlal. There's a different thing called Yeshvach Eitzim Pas. With Zev Zegrim doesn't apply to that. That's not a good case. That doesn't apply to Pesach. Okay, that's a different thing. Okay, that's an angle of Zev Zegrim which we completely didn't talk about. Okay, so I don't really answer your question. Okay, but anyhow, so the Mother of Rome says since it works with Bittel. So because the case we're going to talk about. Here's what we're going to talk about. You'll see why it doesn't apply. Okay, that's the answer. I guess the answer to your question. I don't know what the Mughal Ram's case was, what he was talking about, but the case we're going to talk about is going to be an answer to your question. But you're reminding me also. Okay, so the Mughal Ram says it doesn't work. Okay, but many other Achronim, the Chayadam and the Gra and others, all say, no. When the Ram says that it works at Bittel, he didn't really mean that. Okay, he didn't really mean that. He really meant is that when the Zev is a Garim, it's as if there's no Isra Bechlaf. As if there's Mamash, there's no Isra at all. The way in Ramosha, the way he says it is Nefshav Linyan Dinov Kilu Einoy Vaverak Kigurim Hanot Stubbis. Zev Zagurim means is it's as if it's an indirect Hanot. It's like not even there. The thing is not there. It's not because it's bubble. Real. It's not really bubble. It completely ignores it. It doesn't exist at all. Okay. And when Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Mishnah Berurah bring this, they say that most of the Poskim don't agree with the Mughal Ram. But Lamaisa Lechatchila, a person should be makbel for that. That's what they say. Now this whole thing that I'm talking to you about is not tzenegeit. As a rule, it's not tzenegeit to us because food that we eat that's made on Pesach, I guess it could be in a game in your house. I guess it could be such a thing. But food that we eat that we buy in the store was all made before Pesach. Okay, nobody's making Pesach food on Pesach. All the food that we eat is made before Pesach. Before Pesach, there's no shilas of Ismashu. So you want to have a medicine that has a little ingredient in it, that was made way before Pesach. We have a food that was made, any things like this would be shadows from before Pesach. So this Mughal Ram, as a rule, wouldn't apply. But where it would apply is, what it would apply, what it would be negated to, is two cases. Same case. And that is, if you want to eat fresh eggs or fresh milk on Pesach, and the cow or the chickens ate chametz on Pesach. Okay, so in that case, which answers your thing from before, but that's still not the case I'm going to talk about, but it answers your question, which is the cow ate chametz, okay, and then it gave milk. So what should we say is this milk is a result of the cow eating chametz. Okay, now it's a result of 100 other things also. Okay, the cow ate all the foods. The cow has got a whole body for all the cow that helps produce the milk. But there's a little piece of the chametz that had to do with it. And if Zev Zegrim doesn't work on Pesach, then we would say is that the milk that comes out of here, or the egg that comes out of this chicken, is coming from chametz.
It has
to do with Isra Hanah over here. Here it has to do with Isra Hanah, not the Isra Achila. But the same, Zev Zegrim doesn't have to only do with Achila, it's anything. Okay, so if so, according to this Mughal Ram, then
that's why my question doesn't apply.
Right, that's why in this case your question doesn't apply, because it's not negated to Isra Mashu of a person eating it. It's not there, so to speak. There's no grain in your milk, but it's okay. So from this side, what the Mishnah Berurah said you should be from this in one siman. When the Mishnah Berurah said you should be makbid for this Mughal Ram at least lechatchila, then you would not eat it. Okay, but in a different siman, where the Mishnah Berurah talks about milk on Pesach, they're not in the same place. There's other parts of the shaila about eating milk. It's not so clear that the cow that ate chametz and the milk that came out of it are connected to each other. Okay, there's all the other parts of the shaila. We talked about it once, 1 year before Pesach. And there, the Mishnah Berurah brings 2 days. Can you drink milk from a cow that ate chametz on Pesach? He brings 2 days. It's not machlokes. He just brings 2 days about whether you should do that. Because there are whole other parts of the shaila of what you should do. Maybe you have to wait 24 hours. And the Chayadim and Ramosha say to completely ignore that, then don't worry about it. Bechal, again, not because of the grand angles of it, but other parts of it. They say completely, it's a fine, you can eat whatever you want to. So that's a separate child. I'm just mentioning for the Zev Zagram part of it, that's an example of maybe this milk is wrong to be makbid because of the Zev Zagram. And just while if I'm mentioning milk already, we always tell people that they should not eat milk that was that they bought, that's not kosher Pesach, or that they bought on Pesach. And that's because of a side little angle. That's because they add vitamins into milk, or they put color, they wash them with the eggs, they add the vitamins, and there's a little chance that those vitamins would be chametz. And since...
You're talking about it's not kosher Pesach.
If it's not kosher Pesach, not kosher Pesach, and you buy it on Pesach, so then that milk could have been made yesterday, and if I buy the milk on Monday, the cow, they could have milked that cow on Sunday, or a day or two before on Pesach, in which case, if they add the vitamins, which were chametz, then... There's an isamashu because they added a little bit of vitamins into my thing. If there's chametz in there, then it would be asim b'mashu. That's why we tell people to either buy the milk before Pesach or buy kashrut Pesach, because kashrut Pesach is, first of all, they make sure the vitamins are kashrut Pesach and they make it before Pesach. They don't make it on Pesach in here. So that was the reason for that. Okay, this is the end of today. There's a whole another sections of Zev Zagarim, many more pages here to go. That's for next time in Rosh Hashem, if you guys are still there.